Hello, everyone, and welcome to Where There's a Willis, There's a Way. My name is Kendrick Martin.
And I'm Josh Carter.
Today, we have a little bit of a special something-something. We're not talking about a movie in particular. We're just here to chit-chat, catch up, and do a little feedback with our friendly fans. This episode is unique because we're also recording a video version. And do you know what that means, Josh?
What does that mean?
That somehow this video version should get published. But until it does, dear audio listener, it'll just exist as an audio treat for you. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think Spotify and or Anchor has like a video upload for podcasts. So if you're listening in Spotify, you might be able to see the video feed option. If you're not listening in Spotify, maybe look in the show notes and hope that we did something.
send us an email and then we'll mail you a copy of a CD that has the video on.
Send us an email that has a link to the address book that has your address in it. That I'll look up the address and then print a DVD. Have you made a DVD in a while?
I haven't made a DVD. Oh no, this is unlocking like memories for me. No, I've made DVDs before, but I was mostly a CD maker. No, I just remembered that I had to make a DVD for a Cub Scout project many moons ago. And it was like, we made these little knights that were characters on popsicle sticks. And we had like a mostly improvised thing based on these night's story. I don't remember anything.
And
about
it was really important that people had that on DVD.
Apparently it was like part of an assignment or something, I think.
Wow. So four or five lives ago, I kind of co-founded a video production company with some friends of mine. And our main gig was filming plays, like community theater productions, and then producing a DVD of the production and then selling it. We'd also do weddings and some other like miscellaneous stuff, but it got to the point where we did it for a couple years. It got to the point where we would produce like a master DVD and then I'd take it to this place in town and they would duplicate it like, you know, 100 times or whatever and print out the artwork and like put it in a box. So that was fun. But I haven't actually like done my own DVD burning in a while.
Yeah. And didn't you say that you also had like a DVD for your sketch comedy show that you did?
Yes. That part of that same video production was we also had some YouTube sketch comedy stuff and we made a DVD of that.
Nice.
Making DVDs is hard. Although like making a menu and the transitions.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it's like with a Blu-ray where it's a lot more interactive and like loading stuff from the internet.
Oh yeah. No kidding. That sounds like a pain.
Yeah. Someday, maybe once we become famous, we should do a Willis Way Pod DVD.
Yeah. Maybe this will be a DVD feature that you are watching on your DVD player.
Maybe
somehow in the future.
Maybe you're far in the future and you're like in some museum to the great dunces of the 21st century. And one of the things you can do is play a DVD. That would be fun. So quick aside, there's a sci-fi trilogy of books the first book is called The Three Body Problem. Are you familiar with these books?
No. I'd say three books where they each describe a different body part.
Yeah, so it's based on Clue, where it's all about killing Mr. Body. No, I'm kidding. So the first book essentially is humans contact these aliens, and basically by
humans fall in love with aliens, but aliens and humans break up, and then
it's like when Harry met Sally, but for aliens and humans. Each of these three books is like the most mental, mind-blowing sci-fi concepts of anything I have ever read. And I just finished the third book today. And there was a point to why I brought this up. What were we talking about?
DVDs.
Yeah. So
Okay.
A big plot point in these three books is people go into hibernation for, you know, 100 years until like a certain problem gets solved. So like, say they're a physicist and they're like, I don't want to wait until you solve that. I want to hibernate. But they're always like talking about, there's like, oh, we're going to make a museum to this ancient thing. So someday there'll be a museum for us.
That's crazy.
But it really, you should go read that book, Three Body Problem.
I have a book that I'm reading right now.
Doesn't matter. You can read two.
Okay. My record for reading books has been zero unless it's been assigned to me for like many years. So like I'm really hoping to get this book through. Yeah.
Is the book you're reading interesting?
The book I'm reading is interesting so far, but it's also like an academic book written by a, what's the one called? That's like the study of people. Not like
thinking of like the Bible.
No, it's
the study of people.
It's not like, it's not sociology or political science. It's anthropology. It's written by an anthropologist. Yeah. And it's called, I think, let me look it up now. I think it's called 17 Contradictions of Capitalism, or Late Stage Capitalism or something like that. But it's pretty good so far. I had to read a couple of the chapters for a class that was like a philosophy of work and leisure class and had a lot of Marxist analysis in it and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, I'm interested in reading some more about this. But yeah, 17 Contradictions and the End of Capitalism by David Harvey is what I've been reading.
I don't need no book to tell me that there's a contradiction in capitalism.
I just want to know, Kendrick. I'd like to know over 300 pages that's what's going on.
Yeah, maybe that's why you're having a hard time with your whole book reading thing is because you pick 700 pages of a treatise on why capitalism is bad.
Someone's like, oh, do you want a book recommendation? I was like, yes, but only the driest book that you have, sir.
Yeah.
I don't want to be entertained.
You seem like a college kid.
Oh, well, quite right I am. give me a book.
Yeah, you're a college grandpa with that voice?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Well, I read a lot of books. Nice. I recommend them. They're good to things.
Just books in general?
Yeah, just books in general. But really, though, you should read Three Body Problem. If you like science fiction.
All right.
It is bananas. Okay. So one of the reasons we're doing this video today is long ago this happened, and we have been trying to find a time and place to talk about this thing, and that is someone has sent me a Bruce Willis memorabilia.
Bum, 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 bum.
If you're looking on the video, you will see this. This is the section of the podcast I'm going to call Pillow Talk. So I will say that a company, I guess I could say their name, Lacework, reached out to me at my day job to talk about some stuff. And they said, hey, I looked you up and you have a Bruce Willis podcast and I listened to you and I thought you were great. And I'll read a quote from the email. It says, I give the podcast a full Bruce Willis, although you hating Paul Rudd is a bit concerning. So sorry that that's the truth. But anyway, they wanted to talk to me about some stuff and they said, hey, if you have some time to talk, I will send you this Bruce Willis pillow. And I was like, I am honored. So
they did. We did.
I have the pillow. It's been a long time. Turns out having a kid kind of threw off my scheduling discussion. So I'll describe it for the listener. It is probably like a dozen Bruce Willis images on a pillow from movies. Of all sorts. There's what I think is like a moonlighting, like a full head of hair Bruce on here. And then there's John McClane from Die Hard and some other, a lot more balding Bruces and recent Bruces. There's Bruce with a goatee. Josh, do you recognize this Bruce in like suspenders. He's like,
I think that that's a pretty recent one. But I would guess like Red or maybe Die Hard 5.
Oh, he has a lapel mic. I wonder if that was from like a...
Oh, that might have been a stage production.
Well, or like, you know, Comic-Con or something. He just has like these suspenders that, and it, the way it's cropped. Actually, maybe he's holding a gun. I can't tell. I don't know. The way it's cropped, though, he looks like he's wearing lederhosen. And I was like, is there a Bruce Willis movie set at Oktoberfest?
It's like a pretty modern day Bruce Willis movie. They're like, the terrorists are trying to stop Oktoberfest. We need to call on this gruff ex-cop to put an end to it.
That's funny. That's funny. I have been to Oktoberfest in Germany. And I'll tell you what, I thought it was going to be like an absolute shit show. I've been to many a brew fest here in the United States, and that's what I was expecting, but times 100. It was actually a wonderful time. Great.
Oh, nice.
Met a whole bunch of people from different countries, drank like many big things of beer, and had a pretzel, and then left.
Nice. That sounds like a pretty pretty enjoyable way to spend some time.
Yeah, I'd recommend. Nice. Would recommend. Okay, so something else I wanted to do on this bit is we have been saving some questions that people have sent us over the episodes for kind of an AMA style section here, and I thought we would just wait and read them all at once. Okay, so we have a handful of questions here. Again, if you want to send us a question, you can email us, willisweypod@gmail.com. You can tweet or Instagram message us at willisweypod. Just leave your name and maybe where you're emailing from. This first question, Josh, I'm going to start with you. What is your favorite snack? This question comes from Hans G.
Hans G. Did Hans G say where he was from?
He did not, no.
Okay. Favorite snack is anything that's like, salty, or if it's like a candy, sour candies, those are like, those are the things that get me. So like potato chips, chips in general.
You're a real chip chomper. Like, they say
I'm a chip chomper.
Yeah. That's, Maybe we should, let's dive in. I'm going to break this question open a little bit. First, what's your favorite type of chip?
So are we just doing like chip by itself, or is chip allowed to be
any
with
any chip like substance that you would have in a bag? But no, like we're not, don't bring any dips into this combo. Just chips.
Okay.
Just chips.
Okay. Just chips by itself. I am actually super boring in this way. And in many other ways, I don't want to put up a false face and seem interesting. Lord knows the extent of my interestingness. Anyways, I like plain chips, just plain old fashioned potato chips, Ruffles with ridges.
Oh,
this episode has been sponsored by Ruffles. We're actually really excited about that.
Yeah, the ridges are for our pleasure, really.
they are ridged for our pleasure.
I think Ruffles are good. Regular potato chips are good. I can only eat like a couple handfuls, and then I am more grease than man at that point. So
twisted and evil.
Yeah. John Travolta is coming out of me and I can't stop it. I think my favorite chip is just regular Cheetos.
Oh, interesting.
Not puffy Cheetos, not spicy Cheetos, just regular Cheetos.
So are you a man of the Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
No, just regular Cheetos.
Just regular Cheetos.
If I'm going to go spicy, I'm going to give me some Takis, because that's what the spicy treat is at. But if I just had anything to choose, regular Cheetos.
Regular Cheetos. The only reason why I bring up the Flamin' Hot Cheetos is because last night I had an evening of classic video game party. And by classic, I mean like we were playing GameCube. So some people who are listening are like, oh my God, classic, you're a child. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I am those people. I am people.
You are those people. But we were at Safeway, and we were going through...
Waiting for the GameCube game to load, probably.
Waiting for the GameCube game to load, yeah, on this little tiny-ass disc. And we were like, what is this Mountain Dew flavor? And Mountain Dew has a flavor right now that's flaming hot Cheeto flavor.
Wait, what?
I think it's Flamin' Hot Cheetos or Flamin' Hot. I'm not sure, but it's like apparently impossible to find in any stores. My younger brother John is a big Mountain Dew fan. He once over the summer drank enough cans to create a raft that was made out of cans of Mountain Dew that floated 5 people at the same time.
It seems like he's hazard.
Yes, it is. He reached out to PepsiCo to see if they would sponsor him or give him like an ad or something, and they did not.
At least give him like a branded life preserver.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, it was like the most terrible soda I've tasted recently.
So what was funny was I thought you were originally gonna say is, what is the Mountain Dew flavor? Like, how do you describe the Mountain Dew flavor? You're just talking about some absolute trash Mountain Dew spinoff. I saw the other day, I'm not a huge soda man, but every once in a while I'll get like a Coca-Cola Classic or maybe a root beer. I was at the Plaid Pantry and saw that they had a Space Dust flavored Coca-Cola.
Space Dust?
Space Dust.
Oh, I think I've tried that actually.
It's not good.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't taste like much.
It's like cinnamon... Yeah. Pumpkin spice latte Coca-Cola or something. I don't know. It was bad.
It tastes like I went up into my attic and went and then drank Coke and then spat it out and then breathed in again.
Okay. That analogy started one place, went one place, then came back to the first place, then dropped down. Stop being an analogy for a second. I don't know. We got to work on that. All right. Let's move on to the next question. This question comes from they just called themselves L. What is a Bruce Willis movie that we have not talked about that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I've got an easy answer for this one. Really looking forward to Moonrise Kingdom. I haven't watched it yet. I've only seen Isle of Dogs. It's the only Wes Anderson movie that I've seen. And I'm kind of waiting to watch that one. And then I'm going to watch probably a few after that.
I'm really curious.
So excited about that one.
If, like what you, your thoughts are on Wes Anderson, because I think people either love him or hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know with you. I cannot predict. I cannot predict. For me, I don't know if I have an answer for this question because I have seen, you know, like Moonrise Kingdom, and I think it's great. I guess if I would say, what am I looking forward to talking to you about? I would say Looper, because I haven't seen that movie since it came out. And I'm excited to revisit it.
I haven't seen it yet at all, but I've since watched several Rian Johnson movies. And I think that I'm not a fan of Brick. I'm not going to flaunt.
Brick's great.
Nah.
Yes.
We're not running a Bricks Willis podcast, man. So I don't have to.
The scene where JGL takes off his glasses because he knows he's just about to get pummeled and he just like puts them in his pocket and stands there.
Yep. That movie's all right. I had heard nothing but amazing things about it, and I watched it, and I was like,
it's very first filmmaker's film.
Yes, yes. But The Last Jedi gets a lot of unnecessary hate, and I like Knives Out a lot, so I'm excited to watch it.
The Last Jedi and Knives Out.
Yeah.
We'll be talking later in this episode about Star Trek, but... what are your thoughts on Star Wars in general? Are you a big Star Wars guy?
Yeah, I have a very, very strange relationship with Star Wars. I love parts of the lore. And so I think that like the Clone Wars era of Star Wars is very interesting lore wise. And I love a lot of the games. Like I love Republic Commando. I don't know if you ever played that game, but it's like a quote unquote tactical shooter, kind of Halo mixed with like, some tac shooters at the time. And that game's great. It's super linear campaign. And then I like some of the other stuff too. And I like the idea of Star Wars. But as far as the movies and shows go, there's only like two movies that I think are actually good movies that are Star Wars. And that's like Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back. I'm not really a big fan of basically any of the other movies. Wow. Although I like what they did for certain parts of our culture and for like what they did for the lore. But as movies, I'm like, nah, I don't want to watch the Return of the Jedi or any of those.
Yeah, I think they're fun. I've been thinking about, like, you know, as my son gets old enough to actually watch movies, like, you know, the classic question of what order do you introduce the Star Wars canon? Do you start with episode one? Do you start with Star Wars?
Yeah. Do you want to know what my opinion on that one is?
No, not really.
Okay. Where are you leaning right now?
Probably start with episode one.
Yeah.
But yeah. I started watching the new Obi-Wan show. I've not seen much of it. But you know what would be cool is if there was any other planet but Tatooine in the Star Wars universe. And I keep watching those Star Wars TV shows. And every time I'm like, oh boy, the desert again, huh? But I mean, it makes sense because Star Wars is just literally on that planet the whole time, right? It's literally, you know, on a planet far, far away named Tatooine, I think is how everything opens.
That's how the opening crawl is in every movie.
Yeah.
So that's great. Did you hear that like crazy fact about Attack of the Clones that Ewan McGregor confessed to recently? So apparently when they were filming that movie, digital cameras were still like a work in progress. And they had a hum that was about the same frequency as the dialogue that was recorded. So they couldn't just cancel out the hum in post. And they had to ADR pretty much every single line of dialogue in Attack of the Clones. What? So when you watch that movie and it feels stilted as fuck, that is why it feels stilted as fuck.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That explains nothing, Josh. All right, let's go on to our next question. This question comes from Butch C. If you could personally replace a Bruce Willis character in any of his movies and live in that movie's universe, which movie and character would you choose?
Oh, you should go first because I have to think about this.
So I will say probably... I'm assuming I think we can say that it's like at the end of the movie, right? It's not like you have to replay, you have to relive his experiences. So I would go with Fifth Element.
I don't even remember what.
He saves the universe, gets the girl, gets healed. Oh, okay. Like no problems.
It's pretty chill, I guess.
Yeah, what other movies like end in greatness? That or maybe North would also be a funny one.
I was going to say, I think my answer is North. Like a guy wearing a bunny costume teaching kids lessons.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. You're
just like some sort of guardian angel. That's pretty good.
Sign me up.
That's pretty good.
Unbreakable would probably be my second, though. Like,
so I thought about that one. I guess superpowers. Yeah, I guess after the movie you don't have to deal with you know, Mr. Glass fucking stuff up. Because that was the part where I was like, I don't want to deal with that. Okay, this question comes from Jeff G. Do you play Wordle and what would a Willistle look like? Josh, do you play the game Wordle at all? Are you familiar?
I do. I play Wordle every day.
Do you?
It's like my opening of my day.
Do you know that there's like 9 million like Wordle type games?
Knockoffs.
Are you familiar? So there's like, you know, Movie-dle, Poster-dle, there's like Quirtle, which is 4 Wordle simultaneously. There's like an audio one where you listen to like a second of a song and you have to guess what the song is. So I think what Jeff is asking is what would the Bruce Willis equivalent to Wordle look like? Maybe it shows you how much of his hairline he has and you have to guess what movie it is.
I feel like maybe like it does varying levels of hints. It's like the first one is his hairline. The second one is like a costume that he wears for part of the movie or something. Yeah. And then like another one's like a line of dialogue that he says. That's not like a remarkable line of dialogue. It's just a line at random. And then you have to guess which movie it's from.
These are good. These are good. I, you know, if you're looking for some sort of software thing to write, Josh, you should write this for us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll just, you know, write software. Yeah. Here's me writing that software.
My keyboard's not loud enough for my fake typing. Oh, you just real typed. Okay.
Yep.
Mac plus plus. Way to go.
No, I just, sorry. That should be in C++. There. That's how you program, right? You just add C++ to the end of your string, and then it's programming in C++.
Mm-hmm. Except or you had
C++ a font.
You have three pluses there, so that's like an extra plus.
Ah, now I've made it in Java. I spelled it Jave by accident. I'm running like 4 hours of sleep right now. You get goofy, Josh.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all for the Q&A AMA section. We'll call it. thanks everybody who sent in questions. If you again want to send us a question, we'd love to do this again. So the last thing I thought we would talk about, and we, Josh and I have been texting a lot about this, is our thoughts on all the new Star Trek, what I've kind of been calling new Trek. So anything that is post like the J.J. Abrams movies that is show specific. So Star Trek Discovery, Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, Picard, and there's a show on Nickelodeon called Prodigy, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with these? Have you seen?
I've watched some parts of almost all of them. I haven't watched any of Prodigy, though.
So let's start with the animated stuff. I've watched... again, some of all, including Prodigy, though not much. So I can just speak to Prodigy. These are all available on the Paramount Plus app, even the Prodigy stuff. Prodigy is definitely more kid-focused, although still quite fun. The premise is it's like four kid aliens of some kind who escape this like mine where they're enslaved, and they find like an old Federation starship. And none of them know how to pilot a starship, but they activate like a holographic Captain Janeway, voiced by Kate Mulgrew. And they like flee the, you know, evil mine owner. And then all the episodes of them just like going on ridiculous adventures, flying through space, trying to escape their pursuers. Also while learning like what the Federation is and how starships work. Pretty funny. But again, definitely like, you know, for the littlest, tiniest babies.
And, is Kate Mulgrew pretty prominent in the show? Yeah.
She's like she's like the mentor. And she's so like in every episode.
Motherboard and Cyber Chase. Yeah.
But she's like, you know, always around, always there, kind of being the like moral center, trying to convince them to do good stuff.
Sounds like a great premise for a show though.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot of fun. And I was kind of surprised because I was like, well, I'll check this out. But I bet you it's like, you know, crappy kid fare. But it's actually great use of the Star Trek IP, and the voice acting is fun and the animation's okay. Nice. So let's also talk about Lower Decks. How much of Lower Decks have you seen?
I think I've seen like 5 episodes or so.
Oh, total?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I like about Lower Decks is, so Lower Decks, if you're not familiar, is like an animated show by the creators of Rick and Morty. And if you've ever watched Rick and Morty, it's almost the exact same vibe, but with Star Trek, and a little less gross than Rick and Morty tends to be. But the episodes are pretty loose. They're not super connected. Like there are some interstitial moments that kind of connect the episodes, but you can definitely just kind of pick up an episode here and there and watch it. It's for the Star Trek nerds, it's set like post Next Generation.
Post Voyager, even, right?
Yeah, I would assume so. I don't know if we've seen much of that, but it's set post all that stuff, but like pre Star Trek Picard. So there's like a large swath of time in there, but you know, Riker shows up as like he's still running a starship doing stuff. I think he's the main cameo. It is set post Voyager because season two has a Tom Paris episode where Tom Paris is like going around signing stuff for people. And there's like one of the main characters in Lower Decks has like commemorative plates from all the Voyager cast. And he gets the Voyager crew and he gets Tom Paris' signature on the plate for Tom Paris. It's very funny, very like whimsical. I think it does a great job of kind of skewering Star Trek and not taking itself too seriously, but also coming from a place that, you know, they've all definitely spent time with the material. It's not someone who's like making fun of it and not knowing anything about it. So I think it's pretty good. Some of the episodes are better than others, but that's true with most of the show.
Oh yeah. Like name a Star Trek show where every episode is consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's true. I think that's true.
Maybe Discovery.
That's true for everything. I'm probably going to say is most of the shows, the new Star Trek shows, I've liked, but none of them have been 100% bangers. But what Star Trek show has ever been 100% bangers?
None.
Exactly.
There's none. I think that maybe the original series is like the closest to 100% bangers, but you really have to like 60s. Like
even TV that though, there are some dull episodes in
that. Oh yeah,
in that show too. But so one thing I was going to ask you, I've seen most of all of the shows. As of recording this, there's still like a bunch of Strange New Worlds to air. So obviously, I haven't seen all those, and. I didn't finish Prodigy, but otherwise I've seen most of the shows and I can say that throughout Star Trek canon, they continually reflect on the Star Trek that formed like my childhood. So particularly Next Generation, you know, it had like its whole spin-off show of Picard, but each of these other shows for the most part has reflected on they'll bring up the characters of Next Generation, whether it's the Enterprise or something like that. And I think because the Enterprise is such a big deal, that's kind of been a big through line. But Voyager, like I just mentioned, the Voyager people show up all the time. You know, Kate Mulgrew was in that episode. But what happened in Deep Space Nine, it's like no one talks about.
Yep. It's the black sheep of the family as far as Star Trek goes.
But it was like that show ended in a war. And
yeah,
there was like a lot of major stuff that happened that was like...
Yep.
Universe or you know galaxy impacting and no one talks about it.
You could take a spinoff of DS9 in like 85 million directions and you could make some really good stuff. Like I'd love to see like a mini series set on Cardassia under Gold Dukat's like rule. I'd watch that in a heartbeat. That sounds great. I'd watch so many different things of DS9, and that's my favorite Star Trek show, so
yeah,
seeing it get no love is kind of a bummer. I think that part of that is that they've had several actors pass away, and they also like Avery Brooks, who played Captain Sisko, I don't think that he's really into like the whole going to events and stuff like that. So
I'm not
really
even
have like a champion.
I'm not even necessarily talking about, and I have not looked at all at like the, you know, like who the showrunners were and who the creators and writers are and that kind of stuff and how that connects with the other shows. But I'm saying that like the plot of Deep Space Nine is never mentioned. They never once mentioned this massive war.
Yeah, they don't ever mention like the Dominion.
Yeah, the Dominion or the wormhole or any of that stuff is ever mentioned. And there's a lot of dang stuff that happened in that show. I just found that funny because there's a lot of other stuff that gets connected.
Which is funny too because they're taking it in like all of the Star Treks that are coming out right now except for Strange New Worlds, possibly. Lower Decks and that's it are hyper serialized. So by not paying homage to the first Star Trek show to do a lot of serialization, it's like kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Seems odd.
Yeah. And so I don't know if maybe, you know, anything. The writers of that, if, like the writing was complicated and no one wants to touch it because they just rather kind of retcon some stuff. I don't know. One thing that I will say about all these new Star Trek shows is more so than any other, like multi, or I don't even know what to call it. Cinematic universe is, you know, makes mm-hmm. you think of Marvel, but more than any other like universe of works. So, you know, we just talked about Star Wars or Marvel or the other comic book series. Nothing else does what I love about the Star Trek stuff, in that every show is like its own vibe.
Yes.
With, you know, a lot of these other works, you'll watch like you watch a Star Wars show and it's like, oh, they're on Tatooine again. And they're like running into the same five actors. Okay. Which is fine. But even beyond that, you know, the shows kind of look the same, and, you know, it's not, doesn't help that Disney owns everything and kind of wants to create like a similar look and feel. And I don't think, you know, you have to like one and hate the other, but I just really appreciate that Paramount has given them kind of free rein to be like, you guys are just all going to have totally different looks and feels. And, you know, Lower Decks is all comedy. And I don't think anything that happens in that show is actually going to be written down as like canon, how everything's supposed to work. It's just kind of like its complete own thing.
Yeah. It's just people goofing.
Yeah. So,
which I think I would say that like the DC universe does a better job with that than like the other IPs that you mentioned, because I don't think that they have like a super strict producer like they do with Kevin Feige or Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah.
And so like even like the whatever that Harley Quinn movie was, The Emancipation of Harley Quinn or whatever, and like the Harley Quinn show, and then she was also in like The Suicide Squad. All of those are great, and they all have very different tones, even though they're utilizing the same character and stuff like that. So I think that DC is, they should be commended for trying new things, even if a lot of their things are swings and misses. I appreciate that they're trying stuff.
I think what feels great about what they do is when they allow everything to kind of exist. What starts to feel crappy is when it's like, oh, all right, we got to have all these people team up. And then it's like,
Yep. Yeah. Like the Justice League movie was so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about, I want to save Discovery for last, cause it's the biggest work. Yep. And I don't know how much of that you've seen. And
I'm not all the way through season four yet.
Okay. So let's talk about Picard. Picard is two seasons.
And I'm almost done with the second season.
It will end with a third and final season, which I'm not sure if it's, I think it's already been filmed. I'm not sure. They had some footage that they released in a trailer, so I don't think it's far off, but basically follows kind of the story from the Next Generation gang, you know, Captain Picard played by Patrick Stewart, and then all the, a bunch of other people from that series, and then adding on some new characters. I think both seasons have had like three really good episodes and seven pretty not so good episodes, which is kind of a bummer, because you would think as a formula it would be catnip, Kendrick catnip, but it's been really disappointing.
I don't think that they really knew what they wanted to do with the character, it feels like.
Yeah. Both, I would say both seasons have this problem where they spend a lot of time on a planet doing nothing. Yeah. And it's like some great episodes where they're doing stuff in space and tootling around, and then a bunch of episodes where they're just on a planet doing nothing.
Yeah. Like the second season, there's so many like contrivances and little this thing has to happen, so we extend out the drama of this episode. And it's like,
I will say one of the things that has stuck with me more so than anything else in any other Star Trek, this is a spoiler for the second episode of season two of Picard, I think, when, so they, so spoilers, skip ahead like 30 seconds. So they wake up and they're like in an alternate past.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, Jean-Luc Picard is like some sort of, you know, great killer. And he walks into this trophy room of skulls.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks around and sees a Ferengi skull. And that is the most terrifying sight I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That's great.
Particularly That's because also... ears are cartilage and not part of the skull. Except for Ferengi, apparently they're ears.
Oh, it's so good. That also was the only acknowledgement that DS9 has gotten so far in one of these things. Because there was a Gul Dukat cameo quote unquote.
Yeah, that's right.
In that moment. They paid homage. But yeah. Yeah, that moment was great.
Yeah. But this you know, I'm glad the Picard stuff is able to kind of find its place. I feel like, you know, you said they didn't really know what they're doing. They wanted to kind of tell emotional stories in this universe. And I feel like they just, it just was really confusing. And I was really disappointed. But
it's because they keep making it all about the plot when it's like the plot should kind of, I don't know, if they want to tell an emotional story, finding a simple plot might be the better option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super confusing. Okay, let's talk about Strange New Worlds.
All right. I've only seen like an episode.
Yeah,
of this,
I've only seen a couple episodes also. Like I said, it's what's currently airing still. So it's definitely the one that we haven't seen the least of, or haven't seen the most of. It is, yeah, love it. It's definitely, people are saying it's like back to the Star Trek roots of very episodic. They just kind of do a thing, wrap it up. It's all done in a single episode. And I think people are kind of craving that. And I think it's pretty good. I saw a great tweet thread when the show premiered by Tasha Robinson, which I'll try and find and link in the show notes. But she said she was pretty disappointed with the show because she felt both this show and Picard have done this thing where the future people kind of look back at the past and they're like, man, it's such a bummer. You had to be so fascist and terrible. Sucks you guys are living that way. Bye. And her complaint was kind of like, we're here today living in that existence, you know, struggling for basic human rights in some cases and all this stuff. And to have the show kind of be like, isn't it great to be in the future where fascists don't exist? Was pretty tough to deal with. So she was like, I'm not going to watch anymore after the first episode of Strange New Worlds. And I didn't think it was that harsh. I do kind of agree that Picard, I think, was worse, where they kind of like made fun of the atrocities of the 21st century, which, you know, are AKA modern day, which is hard to deal with. But I think it's like a balance you got to strike of being like, we want to show that humanity can rise above these challenges, but also, how do you not just come across as kind of like making fun of? I don't know. You have any other thoughts about Strange New Worlds?
No, I liked what I've seen so far. And I heard that in like second or third episode, they solve a problem in a boardroom meeting. So looking forward to that, because that is classic Star Trek as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's making me want to go watch some the original series stuff, because there's some Easter eggs of some stuff that's kind of, so this show is set pre Kirk becoming captain. So there's some characters in this show that will stay on the Enterprise when Kirk takes over. That is kind of interesting. Sometimes Star Trek can fall into the same trap that Star Wars falls into, where there's like the chosen one. And every show is like, oh, here's a Kirk. We have to talk about him. And I prefer the stories that are like, here's these people you've never heard of. Let's talk just about them.
Yep. Because then you don't have to deal with all the fucking lore.
Yes. And you you don't have to like retcon. And then you're like, but they knew each other from the beginning. Yeah, no, we don't have to do with any of that. Okay, so let's wrap up. the discussion and this episode by talking about Star Trek Discovery. So the longest of all the new Trek shows, been going on, it's in its fourth season now?
Yeah, fourth season.
I really like this show. It's really out
there. I wish I knew the characters better.
With the story. Yeah, I would say, so up until the fourth season, my main complaint with the show has been it's so focused on telling a serialized story that you don't, I didn't know any of the bridge crew's names except mm-hmm. Burnham, like our main character. And yep. It's just like, otherwise it's just like, up, that's a redheaded girl or a blonde lady or
yep.
standing guy. But the fourth season has done better at filling in those people. It's still not near the old episodic, you know, we're going to have a fun episode where these two people just go on hijinks. But I don't think that's the story it's going to tell. One thing though about the show, and it's not really a complaint, but I feel like the people on this show are almost too emotionally aware to the point yes. where I think the stories they're telling are interesting and worth telling. And I think it's important to kind of show that like, oh, you can have emotional intelligence and empathy and like how to communicate with your coworkers and all this stuff. But everybody is just so nice and like, oh, I'm going through this problem. Oh, that's so tough for you. Let's sit down and talk about it. And I'm like, man, that would be great. But everybody is acting like the perfect person all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a little jarring in the sense of that's not really how people act. Like, it would be great if people acted like that, but it's not really how people act. And it just makes for... Yeah. strange character interactions. It doesn't really bother me too much, but sometimes I'm like, wow, this is a strange way to do this. But
I think maybe the writers need to just like go work at like a quote unquote regular job for a little bit and then be like, oh, people don't talk like that. And then they'll be, you know, not write stuff like that anymore.
But so like what I was saying earlier, it's good to show, I think, you know, way back from what Gene Roddenberry originally envisioned was he wanted to show humanity like what it could become. And so that's mm-hmm. why he chose like this future where there's no war, there's no need. Humans have, you know, surpassed the like the need for fighting over resources. And now mm-hmm. we can just kind of like be scientists and explorers. I think that's a good idea and still leaves a lot of room for interesting stories. And I think that's kind of what Discovery is doing with saying, wouldn't it be great if this is how we all acted? But it's just it's just really hard to describe how, emotionally intelligent every conversation is, to the point where it's like they all went to they've all had time to do all of their workplace training seminars and also mm-hmm. remember them.
Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine like O'Brien saying like some of the stuff that some of these characters say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I can't. Yeah. So part of it's like, it's a different time that it was made in, but also the dialogue does make me roll my eyes a little bit in Discovery and Strange New Worlds and Picard every once in a while. So,
yeah. Strange New Worlds, the characters, like the characters have a little bit more range to them. Like you have the sassy characters. And so like Tig Notaro is in Discovery
mm-hmm.
and she's like she's not like in every episode. She's not like a regular, but she's a pretty reoccurring guest star. And mm-hmm. she's great because she is like got that realistic kind of like sassy sarcasm.
Oh
that
yeah.
Really nobody else has. Even the one guy who's the engineer who's supposed to be like the difficult one.
I love him.
But he's not even that difficult. He's just kind of like he gets excited sometimes and I'm like
and he gets cranky every once in a while.
I'm like, this guy is like, not apologizes. That difficult. Yeah. Yeah, like he gets mean and then he just immediately apologizes and like in a heartfelt, empathetic way and you know, it's like I'll do better and I'll like blah blah blah. And I'm like, if this is your cranky guy, then man, I have some people to introduce you to.
Yeah. They really need a Klingon. That's what the show needed.
Yeah. But I didn't realize that I think you meet this character in season 3. She's she's pretty heavily in season four, but like the president of the Federation,
yeah,
is a Cardassian, half Cardassian, I think, but she's at least partially Cardassian. But she doesn't have the like heavy Cardassian look that the Deep Space Nine Cardassians do, which makes me think that maybe she was like half Cardassian because it's kind of like more relaxed features, and she definitely doesn't act like what the kind of like conniving, you know, political maneuvering character of the Cardassian that we saw in Deep Space Nine, and that's even brought up at some point in Discovery. Is they're like, we have to look past our, you know.
It sure seems like we're different characters than we were on Deep Space Nine. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, they say, man, that Deep Space Nine show sure would be weird if anybody talked about
if
that.
If we acknowledge that.
Yeah, and she doesn't want anything to do with tailoring. Like, I thought, oh, she's Kardashian. She's going to want to, like, set up a little coat shop in... Nope. That's a, that was a Deep Space Nine reference.
Oh, yeah. Tailor made for me.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, Discovery is still fun. Discovery is still fun. But my other main complaint with Discovery is they have invented the like technological version of magic more so than any other Star Trek show, where they will just be like, normally, you know, there's like some mumbo jumbo and it's like, we need to do this thing. And like, oh, well, we got to crank the engines up and wait an hour and like avoid this storm.
Yeah. Use our reverse emitter, reverse tachyon emissions.
The plot armor has to be beefed up first or something. But no, in Discovery, they're like, okay, let me pull out my iPad and project. Okay. And done.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm just like, wow. All right. Like the people who complain about nanobots in Marvel movies kind of being a similar, like the nanobots and the Iron Man suit can do anything. It just is whatever you need it to be. That's how sometimes the stuff in Discovery feels like.
Oh yes, absolutely. But that said, we're happy that we're getting Star Trek.
Yeah. So, and again, I love that there's so many different types. Like they all,
yeah.
If you don't like one, you can switch to another and it will feel very different.
Oh yeah. And some people might not like any of them.
Yeah.
And if that's you, I feel sorry for you. That you can't find joy in any of these Star Trek shows.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer.
Yep. For sure.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of a little bonus chit-chat. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got to watch the video that it definitely exists and it got uploaded.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Good talking to you.
Likewise. I'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.